question for you today. Do you believe that men and women can be just friends outside of marriage? Just friends, opposite sex friendships. Is it possible? Love to have you joining the discussion. It's an important topic. I just want to say this. We've got some calls we're going to be sharing with you in a moment that are just very blunt, very honest, and may not always be appropriate for some of the kids. And so just so you're aware of that coming up here in the next 28 minutes. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're getting real here in our Intentional Living Center today on a topic about opposite sex friendships outside of your marriage. Does it work? Doesn't it work? What's God's intention? And frankly, what's been your experience? How have you handled this? At the end of this half hour, I hope that we've all learned some things to make us more aware, more sensitive, and more Christian as far as our action and behaviors and understanding the dynamic of having friendships outside of marriage with a person of the opposite sex. I got five things I'm going to share with you a little bit later in the show. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We got Jennifer, Amy, and Stephen here today in our Intentional Living studios at Intentional Life Media. My phone line is open. You're welcome to come and join in. Let's just, let's talk. 888-888-1717 is the number. George Barna research back in 2015 asked that question. Do you believe men and women can be just friends? 90% of the people who responded said yes. That was millennials, by the way. Millennials responding saying yes. And yet down here, according to a journal study of social and personal relationships, and by the way, that's not a Sunday school curriculum journal where you're going to think, well, that's biased, okay? This is a professional peer-reviewed journal that says research suggests that there may be some truth to this possibility that we may think we're capable of being just friends with members of the opposite sex, but the opportunity or perceived opportunity for romance is often lurking just around the corner, waiting to pounce at the most inopportune moment. And that's according to Scientific America Journal. I'd love to have you join in to this discussion today. A very important discussion. And let me just say this, and we're going to get into some calls. People that I've talked to in the past, I want you to hear their stories. And I want you to join in with your story or just tell us how you manage this in life as a follower of Christ. Listen, we love you guys. The reason Intentional Living exists is because we want to help each of us in many ways to stop shooting ourselves in the foot with some of the stupid things that we can do that hurt ourselves, damage ourselves. Life is hard enough, and then we make it harder than it ought to be. Now, living an intentional life doesn't eliminate all the problems, just the self-inflicted ones. That's really what we're talking about. The area inside of our own control, right? And one unnecessary self-inflicted tragedy that I have seen is when an opposite sex friendship gets off the rails, steps over the line. And I've never seen anything good come from that. And so you could say you're playing with fire. You could say, well, it's not a problem to me. Maybe not. But what's your thought on this? Come join us. 888-888-1717. These are callers I've had a chance to talk to over the last months and few years here. And I just thought I'd share a few stories, have you join in live as well. I'm going to get started with Jessica in Texas. And I ask her this question. What have you learned about this, Jessica?
My husband and I don't do it.
Now, what do you do, though, when you don't have friends in the workplace or church or anything at all?
Well, we do, but we stay away. We have boundaries. We tell them hi and bye, but we don't stand around and talk because of what has happened in the past.
Oh, so you have had experience with this?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Both of you or just on one side?
Both of us.
And so what have you learned about that? Were you honest with each other getting into your, you know, your marriage or your relationship? And how are you doing now?
Yes. Well, when we first got together, we didn't set boundaries and we were both like leading. towards infidelity. And so after we were both very specific and very open and honest about it, you know, what was going on, we decided that, and after going to counseling, that it's not a good idea.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you stand your ground and that your mind is always healthy and that your heart is always in the right place and that you know where you stand.
Now, were these things that you shared before you got married so you got the deck cleared, or was this after you got married?
No, so this was actually after we got married.
So you got the deck cleared, though, and forgiveness and put your marriage back together. How are you guys doing today?
We are 1,000% better, thanks to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Was it tough? Did you have to have some go at it with each other and forgiveness and really work through some issues?
Oh, very much so. Yes, sir. We both had baggage on each end, and we had to lay that down before the feet of Jesus and before each other and pray through it so we could get through it and learn what actual forgiveness is.
That's good. Terrific. So what one message would you give to someone today who's struggling with this topic, and they're not where you are, but they're either interested in or leaning toward or involved in an unhealthy opposite sex friendship? What would you say to them?
To find somebody who they can seek counsel from first, talk to them about what they've done, and then go before their opposite, you know, go before their spouse and be honest with them. And just know that no matter what, that you have to be in a marriage to want it, to make it work. And hopefully, by God's grace, you will learn to forgive each other and empower one another to do better.
All right. That's how we start. Come join the discussion. Let me say this. I think it's absolutely foolish, after years of working with people, it's foolish for any of us, no matter how mature, how smart, how Christian, how much we're into God's word every day, to assume that these kind of things can't happen to us, can't happen to you. You know, we're reminded that pride does sort of run down the lane just before us, right? Pride cometh before a fall, right? And so to assume that this can't be a problem is the problem. And I would add this, it may not be a problem to you, but it might be a problem to the other person. Going back to research again, for men and women who are listening, I'm not sure this will be a big surprise, but according to the research, Scientific American again, it says men were much more attracted to their female friends than vice versa. Men were also more likely than women to think that their opposite sex friends were attracted to them. A clearly misguided, it says, belief. Come on, guys. You ain't all that good looking. So, no, but seriously, you can have a relationship, you can have a connection with a person of the opposite sex, and the intentions may be different. And that alone can create a problem in the relationship. The reason we're doing this today is we love you. Intentional living, as I said a moment ago, intentional living is here because we know and we believe that one unnecessary self-inflicted tragedy that I have seen in marriages and families is this. It really initiates from and originates often from this topic of friendships that have stepped over the line, gotten out of bounds, and have blown up. And it can be a real problem. All right. You want to join the discussion? 888-888-1717. Quick break. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
What a tripwire is simply an opportunity to be shaken out of autopilot long enough to stop and think about what's going on in our life. You know, we get in life and we put on the autopilot. We kind of fly along. Also, we need something that shakes us out of it. The thing about tripwires, though, they can either be positive or negative. They can either blow you up, right? Or they can warn you.
Think about some of the tripwires, the wartime tripwires, the explosives that, you know, destroy and maim. We've seen that. But you know, your garage door has a tripwire too, doesn't it? A little light beam that goes across. So if the garage door is closing and all of a sudden one of your children or grandchildren trip that wire, trip that light, the door supposedly is going to stop and go back up.
That's the October lesson. It's an excerpt from tripwires, and we all need tripwires in our life. And I think, boy, what an appropriate topic for this start of the month. If you don't have tripwires in your life that set off that warning light, you know, kind of like that garage door reminder that it doesn't hurt somebody, we need a tripwire in life. That lesson's up on our website, by the way, at theintentionallife.com, and it's there for one reason, to help you and to someone maybe you know that needs a life change right now by putting a tripwire in their life. And it's because people who pray for us and support us that it's up there. And so thank you to those men and women, young and old, businesses, singles, retirees, for supporting a ministry that's desperate in this day to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ and a life transformational message of living intentionally in Him. And your support is really important. You can find out more and join us at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717 and press number 2. You know, it says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, abstain from every form of evil or reject every kind of evil, even the appearance of evil. And so add that maybe to your reading list as a reminder. All right, let's get to the calls. Kathleen, how are you today in Wisconsin? Appreciate your call.
I am good. How are you doing?
Good. Appreciate you calling in. What is it you want to contribute on this topic?
I just want to say, fortunately, as a divorced wife due to this particular subject, I have always felt firm in believing that if you're married or in a committed relationship, developing friendships with those of the opposite sex is really not something you should do. Because if you like that person enough to be their friend, that means you're attracted to the personality of that person. And as that friendship develops, it definitely can become something else. Yeah. And then you are very likely to step over a line that you should not step over.
And that happened in your marriage, huh?
It did, yes. Yeah. And ended up in divorce because I swore if that ever happened, because it had happened to me before. This is two times I've been in those situations with a husband. And I just, it never brings a good outcome. I don't feel like it's something that you should do. And it goes for the wives, too. Like, don't create friendships with those of the opposite sex when you're married or in a committed relationship.
Was that something you and your former husband discussed, talked about, agreed to? Was this didn't know about?
We absolutely did. And my most recent divorce, my husband knew what had happened to me in the past and how I felt about those situations. I will say, you know, coming into a relationship, if you already have had a friendship with someone of the opposite sex, I know that's hard to discontinue or expect your spouse to not be friends with that person any longer. But I'm saying going forward, once you're committed, I just don't feel that you should create those relationships.
Was this a friendship, or was this a friendship that, you don't go in detail, but stepped over the line?
This was a friendship that began simply as a friendship in a place of work, and then stepped over the line, both of them, both my husband and she. She was married as well.
Mm. So we're talking about the ripple effect of multiple families and kids, the damage that's done when decisions are made. And I appreciate your transparency, Kathleen, the pain you've been through, and I'm sure, you know, your ex-husband and all the families that are involved in this. This, again, It is foolish to assume that this can't happen. We need to build that hedge of protection around us. You know, we need to have that protection, accountability, and honesty. And one of the callers maybe later in the show talks about radical honesty, to be able to be honest with yourself and with your spouse. No secrets. One of the keys in this is that you and your spouse have an agreement. We don't have secret, private kind of friendships outside of our couple relationships. Now, you work with people, you interact with people, much more so in this generation, the millennials, and than maybe 50 years ago. But the reality is we're all vulnerable. And if we honor and respect the sanctity of a marriage relationship, it's important that we put those kind of boundaries in place. Opposite sex friendships, you're welcome to join in the discussion at 888-888-1717. Johnny, you're on. Go right ahead. Appreciate your call.
Yes. Good morning.
Yes.
You know, I believe part of the conversation you're having, I think, is the initial. If you're in a relationship, if you're in a marriage and you seek relationship outside, seeking is already giving weakness in the marriage of the person that you're with to fall into a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're in a relationship that is grounded, not that you're in a marriage, you know, when one is looking for someone else, but if you already have friends in the process, it all depends, I think, it's on the heart of the individual, what the individual is. Well, I mean, the heart overriding the mind, you know, and your heart is settled in a relationship, nothing's going to happen. I've been in a marriage where there was friendship, and her friend got underneath the truck of the vehicle to help me because she was more mechanically inclined than I was. You know, and she also was married, but nothing ever happened. It was just friendship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I think it all depends on the individual. I think your conversations all entail on the fact that, you know, the enemy can step in and provoke weaknesses or temptation. But that's really, on, I think, on the maturity on the individual, both spiritually, to fall into that kind of temptation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would add to that, I agree with you, Johnny. And there's always two people involved, right? Where her head is and where your head is, that's one consideration. I've been around long enough helping people, knowing that sometimes I've had people say to me, I had no idea that they felt that way toward me. And it was damaging their relationship. They were going through a problem in their marriage, their family. And I was, you know, friends, and we were connecting and talking about life and doing things. And I had no idea that eventually that marriage fell apart. Not because we had done anything wrong or got involved, but they were turning their energy away from dealing with their marriage problem and turning it to feeling more comfortable in the relationship with me. So the intention was okay. The intention was good. But maybe the underlying expectation of the other person was creating a potential problem. But you're absolutely right. The heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can trust it? So we got to be really careful. And you made another point that I don't want to jump over too quickly. If you have a solid, a strong marriage relationship, highly committed, it's a lot easier to have a friendship with someone else, right? Come on. I mean, we just know as human beings, we connect around needs, we connect around shared interest, and so on. And so when we have a highly committed, loving relationship, then it could be easier to do this. But still, hey, listen, we gotta be careful not to assume that it can't happen, because it can. Let's take a break. I'll be right back.
Have you ever run into a tripwire in your life?
What a tripwire is simply an opportunity to be shaken out of autopilot long enough to stop and think about what's going on in their life.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, he talks about 10 tripwires we can encounter in our lives and how we should respond to them.
Whenever a tripwire goes off in your life, I think we should ask two questions. One is, what is God's purpose in this? The second one is, as a result of that, what am I going to do?
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting TheIntentionalLife.com. That's TheIntentionalLife.com.
Hey, thank you for your support. God bless you. It's up there, those 10 tripwires. Very practical lesson. I'm kind of a practical kind of guy. And it's there for you at theintentionallife.com. And I say thank you to those, to you who are supporting the ministry. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Check it out at theintentionallife.com. Can men and women be friends outside of marriage? Yep. Does it always work? Nope. It can be problematic. That's for sure. Motivations are often different. According to research, men and women often report different motivations for entering into an opposite sex friendship. Men are more likely to report an attraction as a reason for maintaining that friendship, where a woman is more likely to value the emotional support and companionship. Just the different wiring, right? In a Gallup poll, it was done some time ago. Imagine it's even a greater number today on the potential for romantic connection. Showed that 62% of men and 41% of women believe that opposite sex friendships can lead to romantic feelings over time. And, you know, it's not that it's always going to cross over a line, but what it can do when there are certain emotional needs being met outside of your marriage, as I said earlier, it drains sort of the urgency or the desire to have to rebuild the relationship with your spouse. Like anything. Come on, let's just be honest. I mean, if you're hungry and you're getting nibbling a little bit here and there, you're not as hungry when you're at home. And I don't mean that just as far as intimacy or sex. I'm talking about emotional connection, love, attention, just commitment. And so the importance of having that strong relationship. In fact, I would say if you have an issue with your marriage, if your marriage isn't where you want it to be or needs to be, it should be sort of no way I'm going to be really careful because I know I'm vulnerable. Get back to calls here. Joe is in Arizona. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing, Doctor?
Good. What do you think about this?
So I was on the other end of the spectrum. I went on a 15-year prodigal journey. Mm-hmm. And I was in a relationship that was outside of faith. I was with somebody, living together outside of marriage, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was almost a constant issue that, I'm hanging out with my guy friend or something of that nature. And it just always leads to issues. And I think what it really comes down to is you're seeking validation outside of your marriage with somebody of the opposite sex. And generally, if it's a guy, that guy's waiting for his opportunity, is my experience.
And the research supports that.
So I would most definitely say that couples, especially married couples, need to stay away from that.
Where are you now? How are you doing now? I mean, but where are you spiritually and relationally and today?
So I have a extremely radical view on dating, marriage, and all that. So currently I am about to get married, actually.
And you're ready for that. What's your radical view?
My radical view is dating to marry is a lie. Essentially, what you're doing is you're dating to see if marriage is an option. And you're essentially just trying on. I mean, everyone, that's what the whole world does, is dating to see if marriage is an option. It's just a Christianese way of saying it. So I personally believe that you should marry to date. And allow your relationship, as long as it's Christ-centered, allow that love and that relationship to grow out of your relationship with Christ.
Amen. When are you getting married, Joe?
It's looking like there were some obstacles we had to overcome.
Yeah.
But it's looking like December, January.
Well, how have you gotten to know each other?
So because of the obstacles, we weren't able to do it the way I wanted to. And, you know, I think that was a little bit of God saying, just kind of hold on, let things resolve themselves. But I met her at work. She dropped her Bible on my foot. And I felt like that was kind of God saying, hey, this one, she loves me.
So you guys are ready
and,
to go?
So,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We have similar beliefs as far as how it should look as far as dating and marriage goes. Again, just some obstacles. She made some mistakes in the past, and there were skeletons in the closet that had to get taken care of.
Yeah, and you know what? It sounds like you had that too. You had issues in your past, and radical honesty, being able to be honest. I would encourage you, Joe, since you had enough confidence to call, to really, before you guys get married, that you really do sit down together with a Christian counselor, a pastor, and someone who really can ask the tough questions and help you process some things and say, hey, we know we got everything out here on the table. We know, so we don't have something pop up later that we weren't prepared for. Because the fact is, we drag all this stuff into our marriage. We drag all the past into the marriage, like it or not. And Jesus forgives, right? And it's washed clean. I believe that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Joe, that is for you, and that's for your fiance. You know, those things in the closet can be forgiven, but if they're hidden, sometimes that can become a problem too. In other words, not having a radical honesty and not dragging everything out and having to go through every detail, but to make sure that we're clear on our communication, where we're headed, what our goals are, what our vision is, where we are in Christ, and that the things that really matter, we recognize that there's going to be some battleground here. Satan's going to love to camp around those things in the past and bring up those regrets and those accusations. He's an accuser of the brethren, according to Scripture, and he's going to accuse you guys and whisper into your ears and create all sorts of problems. I just know that because that's Satan, and you know that too, brother. And so we pray for you guys that you'll have a great marriage and can be able to report back in a few years all that God's been doing in your life and your marriage for his glory and for your guys' benefit. All right, thanks. We have to wrap it up. We got more calls. I'll tell you what, why don't we just stay here and we'll record some calls. You're welcome to join us. What's your take? What have you learned? What do you want to share? As you give us a call at 888-888-1717, and then we'll be airing that next Monday, all right, on Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with the rest of the team. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.